This is Pure Decking, the show that about stuff that interests me. Tonight, we've got a full house. We've got Big Brother, BSV, Fox, RU, and Sard. And so, I guess going down the line here, what's everybody drinking? I'm finishing off my bottle of scotch. You might think I have a drinking problem, but I don't. I'm fine with it.
I'm drinking Red and Coke.
Dalmore Scotch.
Outstanding.
I still got the devil's cut.
Nice. BSV, what do you got? You know it's a two-drink minimum.
Yeah, I just have the same beer.
Cool. Oh,
not the same one I was drinking.
I was
going to
say, not the same beer from last week.
Type of beer.
It's really slow on the sips there.
Man, that's clutching it.
Yeah, there's being frugal and just being a plain Jew. Oh,
God. That's not my department.
So has it gone flat on you yet? Actually, speaking of flat beer, Fox and Sard, you guys will appreciate this. I cracked open a bottle of the chocolate beer.
Dun, okay. Dun, dun. How'd it go?
It tasted fine, except it didn't carbonate right.
Oh, bummer.
Like, the bottle was pressurized, but the beer was flat. But it did, like, I guess I didn't use enough to mess with the flavor too much. Now, the stuff I put the bourbon extracts in, the bourbon extract helped it a little bit, kind of enhanced the flavor a little bit. I probably should have used more, but because it didn't have a real strong flavor difference between that and the unflavored. But
yeah, down your local brewery store, they do sell stuff that's just a carbonator that won't fuck with like flavor or sugar levels at all.
Yeah. So I might need to look into that. But yeah, I don't know if it's just the one bottle or if all of them with that extract in them aren't going to carbonate right. But
I had one or two of my bottles, my porter that I did, didn't carbonate right. The rest of them were fine, but I had one that was just completely flat.
Yeah. But I mean, did the bottle get pressurized still?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
it got
pressurized, but just didn't get pressurized enough to force the gas into the liquid to carbonate it.
I gotcha. Well, yeah, that's definitely what happened with that bottle. So I'll see if the other two with the extract in them are also messed up. If they are, I'll just assume that extract messed with the process, or maybe it needed longer to carbonate, even though the bottle was pressurized.
Did you also use the priming sugar with it, or is it just a straight like cocoa extract?
Oh, yeah, no, I put the sugar in it.
Hmm. Yeah, it might have just been like a dud bottle. It didn't seal the cap down enough, had a leak or something.
Might be. So I'll try the others and see, but the flavor wasn't off; it was just flat. So, yeah.
Well, that's too bad. No time to give another shot. I mean, is there like a way that you can, I don't know, inject the gas into the bottle beforehand so you know it's going to come
out
carbonated?
But that's what Fox was talking about. I could go get a force carbonator and carbonate the beer anyways. Which, if I keep up with the home brewing, I might do that anyways, just to shave a couple of weeks off the brew time.
That'd be nice.
And then you don't have to worry about the bottles exploding in your fridge if you accidentally put too much sugar in.
I haven't had a bottle bomb yet.
my dad apparently did that back in the day, and they were storing them underneath the house, and in the middle of the night,
like gunshots going off.
Yeah. Yeah, all the bottles exploded.
It'll only happen at 2 a.m., though.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Just as long as it doesn't happen right as you open the cooler door.
Oh, I'm sure that happens too. Like, you know, it gets that good temperature shift and just boom. Actually, I've been using plastic bottles. I haven't been using glass. So I don't think they would burst. They would just, you know, pop.
Yeah, those are a lot more forgiving.
That's I was just gonna say, where's the yeah, where's the freaking fear of death and uncertainty in that?
Plastic that's called balls. Come July, on. And we save up for that on the 4th, and that's when we bring in the fear of death. it's not a good 4th of July unless somebody almost loses an eye or a hand. I mean,
yeah. No, see that well, that does it. Are you have to come to the U.S. during the 4th of July?
Come yeah, see you we'll never get them out from under the kitchen table.
Dude, you would. These guys don't allow Kinder eggs yet. You're allowed to sell explosives
to
children.
No, they rescinded that.
They released that ban.
Really?
We can get them now.
Damn! Now I've got nothing to bitch you out on.
What the fuck is Kinder eggs?
It's chocolate eggs with little toys inside. They wouldn't allow them for years because you know American children are stupid and will choke on the toy.
Oh.
But American children can have explosives.
It's not me saying they're stupid. It's been our government for years saying that children can't be trusted with small plastic objects.
Hey, Second Amendment rights. America, fuck yeah, give children guns. other explosives.
This will end well.
See, we have to keep or give them the stuff so we weed out the dumb ones. The way it happened in the good old days.
That'd be nice.
The problem is with with modern medicine, generally the reconstructive surgery works and they attract a mate during breeding season.
No, we just have to make sure that like all damage like gets redirected to the genitalia.
There you go. Shape-charged fireworks.
Shape-charged underpants.
Instead of blowing your hand off, well, bye-bye, Mr. Happy.
And after you've taken out the Chinese restaurant, you also have to worry about your dick.
Yeah, but just think about how much you'd accomplish if you had your dick blown off just before puberty. You'd spend like the age between 12 and 27 actually doing something with your life.
So you'd be a dark age choir boy.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, they.
Wasn't there a
suicide
rate?
Look up what a eunuch is and why that was originally done. You have fun with that.
Yeah, I know.
Let's wrong show. It's not IHN.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to take over, man.
let's go on to current events here. So first story up I got is from CNET, or no, it's not CNET. CTV News, Canada TV News. Yeah.
Is it CCTV?
I have no idea. It's from Ottawa. It's a Canadian news outlet.
Oh, okay.
So I was hoping to have Suave on board so I could make fun of him because their legal system has actually got it right here, but he's not. So I'll have to save the Canada jokes for when he's on. Police need special wiretap orders, not just ordinary search warrants, to intercept cell phone text messages as part of a criminal investigation, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled Wednesday. In a 5-2 split decision, the court sided with the wireless carrier TELUS by agreeing that text messaging is essentially another form of conversation and should receive the same protection to which private conversations are entitled under the criminal code. Text messaging is, in essence, an electronic conversation. Justice Rosalie Albella wrote for the majority of the court. Technical differences inherent in new technology should not determine the scope of protection afforded to private communications. The only practical difference between text messaging and traditional voice communications is the transmission process. The distinction should not take text messages outside of the protection to which private communications are entitled. The case arose out of Owen Sound, Ontario, after the Ontario Superior Court granted police a general warrant that ordered TELUS to turn over any text messages sent or received by two of its customers between March 18th and March 30th of 2010. The warrant also compelled TELUS to provide police with copies of the customer's text every day for 2 weeks. Unlike many other wireless carriers, TELUS stores copies of all text messages sent or received by subscribers in a computer database for 30 days. The company argued that even though the copies of the messages were kept in a database, police would still be intercepting the communications by seizing the text and would therefore need to get a wiretap order, which is more difficult to obtain than a general warrant because of privacy provisions in the criminal code. I think I can stop reading there. Essentially, Canada's Supreme Court got it correct. They have said that you have to have a wiretap order, not a warrant, to grab text messages.
Yeah, that's also like the I heard there was a similar case about email, treating it like regular mail. I mean, you have a reasonable expectation that the post that you send, you know, via snail mail, won't be read by anyone but its recipient.
That is a bit of an issue, though.
It is, and I've heard legislation talking about using that as a precedent, saying, you know, email is the exact same as regular snail mail. There's a, you know, a reasonable, you know, expectation of privacy towards it. But, you know, I would feel bad even if this did pass, because, I mean, could you imagine that poor bastard that had to sift through, like, a month's worth of, like, 14-year-old girls' text messages? I'm sure they would kill themselves en masse.
Well, that's one way to take care of your law enforcement issues.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who's accused of, you know, tasing a 12-year-old or, you know, shooting somebody who shouldn't have been shot, they get the text message room.
I don't know, some 12-year-olds deserve to be tased.
Most do.
Are you? There's a soundbite for you right there.
I heard it, man.
Ooh. So, yeah, I like what Canada's doing there. That, you know, they've got the right idea. Why is, just because it's electronic, why does that mean that the law is different? It's not. It's you know, still communication, and the same privacy laws should apply. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
So now, how do we get the judges from Canada to be in our current system?
Well, we smuggle them in like Mexicans. You know, we put them in the back of a pickup truck, we drive them down, and when nobody's looking, we just switch them out.
It's good. It's a Canadian order. Yeah. It's not like anybody's looking for Canadians sneaking in.
Well, you know, if they're getting cheese past them, you know.
Well, people used to smuggle Kinder eggs in all the time before they made that legal. So,
hey man, want to buy a Kinder?
Now, come on, you say that to the wrong person. You say that to somebody with a German descent, like, "Hey, I want to buy a Kinder." Pretty much translates to, "I want to buy a child." You have to go to Thailand for that.
Oh, you're in wrong America for that. Go south.
Wow, I don't know what
accent that was, and I'm just going to apologize right now.
sounded Chinese.
Not for the bad joke, but for the bad accent. So, since Canada's doing it right, let's talk about somebody doing it wrong, namely the FBI. This story is from Slate. Despite the pervasiveness of law enforcement surveillance of digital communication, the FBI still has a difficult time monitoring Gmail, Google Voice, and Dropbox in real time. But...
Like all the public, all the stuff that's by default public and searchable in Google services is not enough? But that may change soon, because the Bureau says it has made gaining more powers to wiretap all forms of internet communication and cloud storage a top priority this year. Last week, during a talk for the American Bar Association in Washington, D.C., FBI General Counsel Andrew Wiseman discussed some of the pressing surveillance and national security issues facing the Bureau. He gave a few updates of FBI's efforts to address what it calls the going dark problem, how the rise in popularity of email and social networks has stifled its ability to monitor communications as they are being transmitted. It's no secret that under the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, the feds can easily obtain archived copies of emails. When it comes to spying on emails or GChat in real time, however, it's a different story. That's because of a 1994 surveillance law called the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act only allows the government to force internet providers and phone companies to install surveillance equipment within their networks, but doesn't cover email, cloud services, or online chat providers like Skype. France was recently bitching at Skype about this problem. Wiseman said that the FBI wants the power to mandate real-time surveillance of everything from Dropbox and online games, the chat feature in Scrabble, to Gmail and Google Voice. Those communications are being used for criminal conversations!
Emergency! Emergency!
I don't think we need the rest of the story for that. I just love the assumption. Any communication medium which we're not monitoring is obviously being used for criminal communications. Well, I'm pretty sure you're
How
not monitoring
How can they really expect to monitor every single form of communication?
Have you seen the number of people those guys are hiring?
Dude, that's a ridiculous like goal. We need to monitor everything on the internet. There's no way.
Hey, and I don't plus, think it's so much that they want to monitor it, it's that they want to have that real-time access. So if it's like, oh, we're going to say that, you know, Durka Durka guy over here is a terrorist, we're going to monitor the shit out of his, you know, any account that he uses to communicate online. But it also gives them the right of like, let's see what, you know, Grandma Sally's talking about with her grandkids. I'm sure she's plotting terrorist acts.
Well, I just think about, you know, you're talking about it's not realistic, but think of the grip on reality this guy must have if he's just assuming that these jet communications are being used for criminal communications. Period. Full stop.
You also, like, too, you're forgetting the role that this would play in incident management, too. Look what happened. Remember that Chinese kid that killed himself in the having a four-way in a Lamborghini or something? At 250 kilometers an hour, where he slammed into a power pole, and his
worst ways to die.
Well, he was one of the top communist officials' sons, and they made everything disappear except for one photo that was taken by a police officer. That's the only way the story got out, because they monitor everything. Man, the phone calls went away; there was nothing. The emergency people that attended the scene, they were all split up and moved away from each other. So no one could talk about it. You can cover everything up. So imagine if they had, what would be another big one? Okay, so we've got, what's her name? Kathy Gifford or whatever? Her old man. Her daughter's dog killed a seal. Has that story made it anywhere in the news? You think the animal rights people would be jumping up and down, but no, there's only a couple bits of footage left of that incident.
Yeah,
I thought the animal rights people would be jumping up and down on it. You know,
no, it's hot animal on animal action. They don't want to post that in case the fucking child toucher squad comes and knocks their door down for watching inappropriate videos.
But anyway, it could be used in other ways, not just to catch up Durka Durka Muhammad Jihad snack bus, but also to actually cover up incidents of corruption, misdoing by the party and officials. Think about it, if you had access to everything, you could pull the conversations instantly.
Not to mention the entire racket it opens up in celebrity gossip. You know, Canada's out there saying, "Hey, you gotta have a wiretap order to get at this stuff," and the FBI's like, "We just need open access."
I just don't see how I don't know. I guess terrorists are stupider than I believe to be. I would think that they would not be using commonly known methods of communication with like the advent of open source software and encryption that you
Most
can go out there and build your
exists,
own.
Man.
I guess. I don't know. It just seems to me like they wouldn't be using these common avenues. I mean, if
you I have to remember, would... we are the abnormalities.
No, you have to remember, we are the criminals.
You're not supposed to admit to that.
I wouldn't be using commonly known methods of communication like that if I was into stuff like that. I mean,
I was into stuff like that, I wouldn't be using methods of communication, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Like, no. If you're in Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, no shit, right?
I mean, come on. But that point aside, I'm sure they catch all kinds of stupid ones. So. Anyways, let's move on to some good cloud computing news. Everyone loves cloud computing, and this one's hilarious. This is from Bloomberg. It's a report they did. Companies that use Amazon's popular cloud computing service have accidentally disclosed confidential information, including sales records, source code, and highlighting the risks of moving sensitive data to the web, according to new research. Oh, you guys put more 4chan links in the freaking chat there? I haven't even looked at it. Oh, no, you've actually got relevant stories in there. I'm accusing you of shit, and you're like,
I actually put a relevant story in there.
We haven't done anything wrong since we scratched the car, Dad.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the links, and the only one from RU is from 4chan. So.
And we said we're sorry.
It buffed right out.
Little Bondo.
No, I can't watch either chat room when I'm reading these things. I lost my place. Moving sensitive data to the web, according to new research. Rapid7, a Boston-based security firm, said that in a report released today, it found more than 126 billion files posted online belonging to customers of Amazon Simple Storage Service, or Amazon S3, earlier this year. Rapid7 analyzed more than 40,000 of the files, most of which contained sensitive data, the company said. Among its findings were sales records from a large auto dealership, source code for a mobile game company, and spreadsheets containing employees' personal information and member lists. Rapid7 said the documents were public because many of Amazon customers overrode a key security mechanism intended to keep such information private, likely by accident as a result of poorly designed third-party management software. It's often the case with security. Simple mistakes can splash confidential data all over the internet, such as when the South Carolina failed to encrypt social security numbers in its tax system and lost millions of records to Russian hackers, or when a low-level employee at RSA pulled an email message out of the junk folder and opened it, allowing in attackers who stole critical data from the security firm. In the cloud,
they did get into the garbage file.
Oh. Here it comes. Back the planet.
Don't say that ever again. There are only two good parts of that movie, and they were attached to Angelina Jolie. Now, I lost my place again. I have been drinking. I'm going to point this out. In the cloud, it's especially acute concern for companies worried about losing control of their data. Spending on cloud technologies was past $130 billion this year, according to Gartner. Cloud hosting and cloud storage is all the rage, but there are still some common pitfalls that many organizations will overlook, Will Vindiger, a Rapid7 researcher, wrote in a blog post. Amazon said in a statement that the issue did not involve a vulnerability in its service and that the company's technicians routinely reach out to customers to help with misconfigurations. Amazon S3 provides authentication mechanisms to secure data stored in Amazon S3 against unauthorized access, the statement said. Unless the customer specifies otherwise, only the AWS account owner can access data uploaded to Amazon S3. Companies were not publicly identified. Rapid7 makes Metasploit. Employs HD Moore. Actually, one of the reasons I have the story, I like Rapid7. They're a good company. Their marketing people are insane. But their software is good. But other than that, yeah, I guess nobody else has gotten a marketing call from Rapid7, have you guys?
No.
Not that they sound like
this and telling me I have a virus on my computer.
No, it's not those.
Then no.
Yeah, they'll call you up and they'll start asking you all this stuff about your company's security. And it's just like, we don't discuss that. Oh, well, what are you doing for this? We don't just, you're a security company. You should know we don't discuss this kind of stuff. Because, like, that's what somebody doing social engineering would want.
That's exactly like, what they're looking for. It's like, when you find somebody, like, that's stupid enough to start answering these questions over the phone, like, the dollar signs just hit their eyes. Like, oh, I'm fine. Because, you know, they've got, like, your IT security director on speed dial. It's like, so, I just called into your support line, and I got this, and this information. How fucked are you right now, and how much money are you going to give us to make it go away?
So you're saying that happens too. They're a fraudulent company now. So you're openly slandering them.
Oh, no. Anyways. No, I'm talking about sales guys. I'm talking about sales guys. I'm not talking about the company. Sales guys are the scum of the earth.
No, Rapid7 makes good software. They actually employ the Metasploit guys. So, yeah, no, as a company, I like Rapid7. They do good work. I just, their marketing department, my God, whoever they got that contracted out to, they need to reassess. But actually, they haven't been as bad lately, but the last time I got a call from them, it was rough. My God. It's like you can't seem to get off the phone with them without just, you know, turning to a complete dick. It's like, you know what? Fuck you and hang up the phone.
I mean, that's not being a complete dick. That's just getting it done.
Well, I mean, it's like they don't give you a polite way to say, I'm not buying anything from you today. Go away.
That makes them very good salesmen.
Yeah, it does.
That's why
it
you does. Put them on hold and then leave them there until they hang up. Not that I've done that every single time or anything.
That would almost be evil unless, did you put really, really crappy music for the hold music?
It's our company hold music, so yes. Yes, I did.
You need to, while you're in the little, it's a little world after all.
Oh my god.
Oh god. I'm this is the special hold time, button. I swear to god. He's going to suffer through that firsthand.
No, that's when you just say, I'm going to put you on hold, beep, and start singing it yourself.
Oh. I'm just going to put the first, you know, early years, first 50 episodes of I Have Nothing on your hold system.
And I'll hang up in minutes. Oh, that would be sweet.
So while I was on hold, I learned how to make chloroform, and
that was a good episode.
Yeah,
the anyways, hospital hold this music taught me how to make chloroform. Nothing could possibly go wrong here.
Who did you want to kidnap today? Anyways, but yeah, what Rapid7 did was they scanned Amazon S3. And they were just finding all this crap where people had gone with the cloud computing model, had like put their sales data out publicly, had their contact lists, their employee documentation all just sitting there. No password on it, anybody could get it public. The only reason somebody, hadn't found it and abused it yet is assuming they just hadn't found it yet.
Wow. For this week's, cloud computing rage, let's go over to Sard.
No, I mean, yeah, you could bring up the fact that it is cloud computing, but honestly, this could happen on any web server. It's just it's obviously a training and a knowledge configuration issue.
Well, so, this is the promise of cloud computing, right? It's like, oh, you don't need an IT infrastructure. You just send us money and use our servers. And it's like,
right.
Well,
you just upload it and leave it there type thing. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
when you don't have somebody who knows what's going on, this is what happens.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah. Let's see. Next story up. This one's fun. Do we want to argue how to say Reuters tonight or not? I mean,
rude. Yeah, you got it right.
Well, I know I said it correctly because I was initiating. Do we want to call it Reuters, Reuters, Robo-Reuters? What do we want to call it tonight?
Hell, anything. I'm not in any angry mood today. I'm very passive. Fair enough.
So, from
Big
Reuters.
Bag of weed.
From Reuters, we've got, I gotta find the start of the story again. Egypt's Coast Guard caught three divers cutting through an undersea cable on Wednesday, the Army said. The first suggestion criminals might be involved in days of severed connections and disruptions online. A patrol stopped a fishing boat near the Mediterranean port city of Alexandria and arrested three divers, the Army spokesperson said on his official Facebook page. He did not give details of the divers' possible motive in severing the link. He said belonged to Egypt Telecom, the company's monopoly landline provider. The armed forces foiled an attempt and arrested three divers while they were cutting a submarine cable. It was not immediately clear whether the incident was related to disruptions of Egypt's reported by cable operator Seacom last week, as it hit several lines, connecting Europe with Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. Seacom did not give an explanation for the cuts. It said it hit its cables and other networking systems, funneling telecom traffic backwards and forwards in the early hours on Friday. Web users have reported slower connections across Egypt since then. The firm, which carries traffic for other companies, said on Wednesday services had been restored, but only to report hours later another connection had been cut. The telecommunications infrastructure snaking into the Mediterranean has suffered several disruptions in recent years. In the past, some operators and users have suggested cables have been caught in the propellers of passing ships. I would hope they were lower than that.
They are. Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I thought they ran them on the ocean floor a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sagging really deep running propellers.
Egypt Telecom said one of its cables had been cut 750 meters off the coast, according to a separate report on... Yeah, okay. So, anyways, yeah, they caught some people cutting Egypt's internet lines and telephone lines out in the water. And that really sucks for the guys who have to do the repairs, too, because once saltwater gets into those big-ass rubber cables, don't they corrode?
Yeah, they're screwed. There are two theories on this, actually, running around. If you're interested.
Shoot.
The biggest theory I heard out there in Egyptian media and stuff like that is that there's two houses of the military. One supporting what's going on and one wanting a military coup. And they were trying to sever the lines of communication with the rest of the world and have an extremely bloody 48 hours of executing anyone in power and taking it back over.
For
the side that wanted to kill all the politicians and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's just one of the theories out there. And the other one was anarchists.
I'd be interested to see, like, what the depth was that they were cutting these lines at, because that could up the badassery level quite a bit.
I think the story said 750 meters.
Well, they were off the coast. Yeah, there's no way they could dive down that deep.
I was going to say, you know, they couldn't go off the continental shelf. You know?
No, it had to be close to land, but I figured they'd bury them after a certain depth just to keep people from doing exactly this.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no economics to be made in cutting them, though. There's no money to be made.
There's somebody behind this, like, funding it all. Like, you need to go out there, cut these lines. We need them off for some reason.
Hmm.
You know, whether it's a military coup or whatnot, you know, and they're funding it. So there's money to be made by people cutting this if they have a, you know, a goal in mind and they're using this as a distraction.
I kind of wonder if it's, you know, I kind of like, you know, the whole cyberpunk theory of corporate warfare. I kind of wonder if it's, since it's a monopoly telecom in Egypt, I wonder if somebody's trying to come in. It's like, yep, see, look, they suck. They can't even keep these lines open. You know, you ought to let us come in and do it correctly.
That's a
cool idea. Hmm. Yeah,
I kind of like that idea. I've got no evidence. That's just off the top of my head. But I mean,
no,
I've got
no evidence.
Like
the other one either.
Yeah, but I mean, it floats about as well as the other theories right now.
But if you look at it, man, it's not exactly a small job to cut that cable. It's not.
No, those cables are fucking huge too.
Yeah,
yeah. You're not going down there with a Leatherman. I mean,
no. You know, what do you get out of a tank of air? Like, how long can you stay down there?
Well, that's why I wanted to know how deep they were, because that depends on how long your tank's staying. Like, if these guys are on rebreather units, which, you know, that's a whole nother, you know, story there, because they can go deeper with those. But
aren't rebreathers like stupid dangerous though?
It is Egypt, but no, there comes a depth where it's as dangerous as you want it to be, but you're gonna fucking die because the blend of air you're using is toxic.
Great.
Oh well, that's handy.
Yeah, but cool. it's not a 20-minute job.
If you're there with like an underwater welding kit, because like the metal wires on those are fucking hella thick. That's got to be like an underwater welder's like setup that they got going to cut these lines.
Well, would they just actually cut it, or would they use demolitions?
No, they could do that too.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Either way, you're going to be a specialist in diving to do it. It's not just going to be Joe Bloggs, the average weekend diver, to do it.
He's not going down there with the air tube off a motor or something.
Yeah, it depends on like how deep they were. You know, you think like, okay, it's a little fishing boat. They probably aren't that far out because it's, you know, probably a little like aluminum outboard motor. But still, like, yeah, it all depends like where exactly they were cut. Depends on like how advanced the people diving and cutting it were.
They just went down there with a hacksaw and started hitting it.
I wonder how far into the cable they actually got before they were discovered.
Well, it wouldn't much matter. Once they breach that outside seal and saltwater gets in there, the cable's done, right?
Yeah, I mean, hey,
from my understanding,
that'd be a fucked up thing to do. Is like go along those cables and start slashing the covers and letting salt water just flood the cable, and then waiting.
It wouldn't take that long to degrade the wiring.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's all copper against salt water. Like, it would fuck it pretty quick, but you'd be long gone before they started noticing the first problems and went out to investigate.
We're giving them ideas.
Fair point. All right, let's go on to the next one. This is I took some segments from the Cloudflare blog post on the DDoS that almost broke the internet. This is the spam house DDoS that's been going on. The reason this is interesting to me is because at first the DDoS was targeting one specific, they were checking one, they were trying to take out one specific website. And when they figured out that this website was using the Cloudflare service to mitigate the DDoS, they started attacking Cloudflare. And then once Cloudflare was handling their DDoS, they started going after Cloudflare's bandwidth links. So, I mean, it's just kind of like, whoa. It's kind of like whoever was, doing these DDoS attacks actually had an understanding of how the peering agreements worked and everything. So it's just like, wow. The New York Times this morning published a story about the spam house. I think this was published, yesterday, 2 days ago? But yeah, they've got like today that. This morning in the thing. So New York Times this morning published a story about the spam house DDoS attack and how Cloudflare helped mitigate it and keep the site online. The Times calls the attack the largest known DDoS ever on the internet. We wrote about the attack last week. At the time, it was a large attack, sending 85 gigs of data, or gigabytes, sending 85 gigabits per second of traffic. GBPS, yeah. Gigabits per second. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot.
Can I do a connection?
Yeah, no shit. Since then, the attack got much worse. Here are some of the technical details. On Monday, March the 18th, Spam House contacted Cloudflare regarding an attack they were seeing against their website, spamhouse.org. They signed up for Cloudflare, and we quickly mitigated the attack. Initially, the attack was approximately 10 gigabits per second, generated largely from open DNS recursors. So it was a classic DNS reflection attack. The for anybody who doesn't know, The concept is you use open DNS servers around the internet to create a DDoS by spoofing DNS requests over UDP. You ask for the root servers. That's usually one of the largest responses you can get. And so you start just spoofing the IP of your target on random ports, requesting from as many DNS servers as you can find, the root certificate, the root DNS responders. And what's interesting about that is the amount of data you have to send out to generate the request is very small. And the root certificate response is, it's not big, but I mean, it's not the smallest packet you'd ever get it at out of a DNS server either. So you can start contacting hundreds of thousands of DNS servers, from one machine without even needing a particularly crazy fast internet connection. And you've got all of these DNS servers suddenly start hammering the IP that you're targeting. And I actually had one of these happen at work. So we were dissecting the PCAPs, and yeah, it's pretty clear what's going on when somebody does it. But because you're spoofing UDP packets, you're not revealing your location. There's no CNC channel. You're just abusing innocent DNS servers out there on the internet. Like, the DNS servers that are actually doing the attack, the IPs you're seeing in your logs are useless because they're other people's DNS servers. They're not doing anything wrong. So it's actually a really difficult DNS. It's a really difficult DDoS to deal with because the bots, in this case, aren't even infected with anything.
Right, they're functioning like normal.
Right, they're just responding to a spoofed request. So okay. You can generate amazing amounts of traffic doing this because it doesn't take that much to get the DNS server to do it. So on March 19th, the attack increased in size, peaking at approximately 90 gigabits per second. The attack fluctuated between 90 gigabits per second and 30 gigabits per second until 1:15 UTC on March the 21st. The attackers were quiet for a day. Then on March 22nd at 1800 UTC, the attack resumed, peaking at 120 gigabits per second of traffic hitting the Cloudflare networks. As we discussed in the previous post, Cloudflare uses Anycast technology, which spreads the load of a distributed attack across all the data centers.
So yeah, they've got the okay. Yeah, they have the same thing a lot of your CDNs use. So this allowed us to mitigate the attack without it directly affecting Spamhouse or any of our other customers. So, you know, this you know, whoever was doing the DDoS attack hit them with 120 gigs of DDoS, and Cloudflare took it.
Pretty wow. Successful.
Yeah. This allowed us to mitigate the attack, blah, blah, blah. Okay, where was I? On the other scale, which was already among the... Or other than the scale, which was already among the largest DDoS attacks we've seen, there's nothing particularly unusual about the attack at this point. Then the attackers changed their tactics. Rather than attacking the customers directly, they started going after the network providers Cloudflare uses for bandwidth. Once the attackers realized they couldn't knock Cloudflare itself offline, even with more than 100 gigabits per second of DDoS traffic, they went after the direct peers. In this case, they attacked the providers with whom Cloudflare buys bandwidth. So they went after Cloudflare's tier 2 providers. Let's see. Let me scroll down a little bit and skip some of this because they've got a lot of explanation. They were saying they don't have direct visibility of the traffic loads they saw, but they were told by one major tier 1 provider that they saw more than 300 gigabits per second of attack traffic related to this attack. That would make it one of the largest DDoSes ever recorded.
And you got to congratulate the security technicians who kept it up and running.
Yeah, no kidding.
And but whoever set it up.
When you start to get beyond 100 gigabits per second, you're getting beyond what most commercially available high-end back-end routers can actually pass. So whereas, you know, you might have a data center that can handle that kind of a hit, some of your router, you know, some of the routing gear of the internet itself stops being able to handle that kind of stuff. I mean, like, you know, the actual routers start to go down because they can't handle that traffic load. So, yeah, the blog post gets really in depth and explains a lot of the peering agreements that they use, and, you know, anyways, they go on to say that, you know, you just shouldn't have open DNS resolvers on the internet because of the kind of DDoS that this can be generated by people abusing them. So,
well, you can guarantee one thing, it won't be the last.
Oh, absolutely not. But it's just amazing that they got it up to 300 gigabits per second. I mean, that's not just knocking routers off the internet. That's like crashing shit because nothing should be seeing that kind of traffic load.
That's crazy, man.
And who blocks DNS? So, I mean, right. Yeah, like none of that was getting filtered.
Huh. That's an awesome system.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll see as a result of this as far as mitigation.
Nothing. Because most people don't, most people aren't aware that their DNS server can even be used for this kind of stuff. Nobody watches their DNS logs.
I bet you do. Yeah.
I try.
See? That's
a lot.
I bet you Saad does.
Saad, do you watch
crickets,
your DNS logs?
Crickets. I don't personally, no. I don't honestly have anything to do with our firewall.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see. Next one up, this is my last story I've got for tonight. This is from The Register. And one of the first clear signs of a tougher stance on China, a new U.S. spending bill has banned government agencies from buying any technology from companies thought to be owned, operated, or subsidized by the People's Republic of China. The consolidated and further...
Well, we're fucked.
Yep, the internet's done.
The Consolidated and Further Computing Appropriation or Further Continuing Appropriations Act of 2013, signed by President Obama on Tuesday, and nobody noticed this because everybody was bitching about gay marriage in the Supreme Court.
Thanks,
only
Obama.
Pertains to huh?
I did thanks, the thanks Obama, Obama joke.
No,
it wasn't that funny. That
I was talking, so I didn't hear you. Only pertains to non-defense government spending until the end of the fiscal year on the 30th of September, but could be a sign of things to come. The key passage, Section 516, prohibits the Commerce and Justice Department's NASA and the National Science Foundation providing any IT systems produced, manufactured, or assembled by any organization which is owned, operated, or subsidized by Beijing. The only exceptions are if a piece of technology is deemed to be in the national interest or if, after consulting the FBI, there is thought to be no risk of cyber espionage or sabotage associated with the acquisition of this, or acquisition of the system, AP reported. The rhetoric has certainly been ramping up in the U.S. since a House of Representatives Intelligence Committee report recommended Shenzhen Telecom's kit maker Huawei and ZTE be locked out of the U.S. market because they represent a national security risk. So this is more of the Huawei crap. I had a quote in the story. Huawei said in its response to the committee report, almost every ITC firm is conducting R&D, software coding and production activities globally, and they share the same supply chain. And the challenges on network security is beyond a company. So they were saying it's not their fault. Yeah, that, I remember that. Huawei was saying, no, we don't have backdoors. Our code just sucks.
I was thinking they were saying, like, oh, they're actually putting in, like, hardware backdoors into our systems.
Well, how much shit is made in that Foxconn factory, really? I mean...
I mean, that's where you kind of have, like, you can't buy anything technology-related that's made in China. Everything technology-related is made in China.
No, they'll still buy Cisco gear. They're just now saying, actually, it's not a bad ruling because they're saying they just have to pass it through somebody to check it out and make sure it doesn't have a backdoor in it before they actually use it.
But that's the shit. Like, how would your average FBI employee like going over these files? Because I'm sure it's not getting like top priority. You get some FBI intern looking at this, like, yep, that's the circuit board. Passes muster. buy 20,000 of them. Oh, look, they totally wired a backdoor in and they have all of our data now. We're fucked.
I don't see the backdoor chip on this, but it looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
What about software backdoors? Are they going to require all vendors that they buy technology from to give them their source code so they can look over it first?
I don't know. Congress is really good at writing laws they can't enforce, so.
Or understand.
How many pages was this bill? The standard 900,000?
Probably.
So with the rider for tacked on that every man and woman who reads this bill will get an extra $50 in their pay next month?
Only 50? Nobody's going to read that.
Put a couple
five more zeros after that and maybe they'll read it.
Well, you see...
yeah, we'll just change it from dollars to pesos there and...
Well, you see, actually, it's not bad if you look at the Mexican currency right now in the world market. Sorry, BSV.
Every bill they pass, they get the amount of $100 for every page on that bill as a bonus for passing it.
I would believe that.
Yeah, add one and two more zeros to that, and you're probably looking at the correct amount.
Yeah, except it's not coming from the government and their pay, it's coming from lobbyists.
Second biggest industry.
Oh, God, that's scary. I don't want to get into politics. I'm personally making an effort to not follow politics anymore because I've decided they're all corrupt and it's a waste of time. So, yeah. That said, let's go ahead and move on to this.
Me love you long time.
Yep, that's right. Just like the tagline to the station, that bumper has stuck around a lot longer than we ever intended to.
Morph's going to tell you about all the things.
Wow, pure decking's now more racist than I have nothing. Yes.
Pure decking started out with the racist digital dojo comments from everybody.
That's right, we all were making bad kung fu noises at one point. So
yeah, bringing it back.
We weren't making fun of Asian, we weren't making fun of Asians, we were making fun of bad kung fu movies, come on.
Yeah, but no one ever goes after that.
Well, speaking of that, though, whatever analytics looked like for that, what was that, college in China or whatever that we had, like, 300 hits from one month or whatever?
Yeah,
that we
learned
on the show.
Yeah, nothing.
Somebody in China.
Learn how to say cunt real good.
Wow. Wow. Well, I had this story in the Digital Dojo for Suave. He's been working on building a robot, and I found a kit. It's called the TurtleBot. If you go to turtlebot.com, you can take a look at it. And the little slug line is, TurtleBot is a low-cost personal robot kit with an open-source software. With TurtleBot, you'll be able to build a robot that can drive around your house, see in 3D, and have enough horsepower to create exciting applications. Unfortunately, not enough horsepower to get out on the interstate, but, you know, hey.
To start.
What does this sound like, a 3 a.m. infomercial for something I really, really don't need to buy?
Exciting applications!
My announcer voice is getting better! Yay!
You too, you're the TurtleBot 5000.
By ordering now.
The next 15 minutes, you'll also receive the Dildo Master 5000.
You want to bet that something people do with this thing is strap the dildo on the front of it and program it to move?
Well, especially as, like, looking down the line here, it integrates with the Microsoft Kinect.
It does, actually. What the kit is, it's a Kobuki robotics kit base, a Kinect, a netbook, the mounting hardware for the Kinect, the structure, which is some acrylic plates and bolts, and then the mounting plate.
There's going to be some mounting, all right.
You know, you could get away with this a lot cheaper. Get a Roomba, get a Raspberry Pi, get a Kinect, and get some plexiglass, because this thing is almost $2,000.
It's an affordable robot kit.
Yes.
It's ridiculous for what you get. It's a fucking Roomba. Look
at it. But the software is open source, so I was going to suggest, as opposed to going with the kit, is you could probably source a lot of this stuff cheaper.
It is a bulky
base. I'm not sure about. You might have to buy that thing. But it's a netbook, right? Well, how many people have an old netbook kicking around? Probably a lot. It's a Kinect. I'm sure you can nick one from somebody who, you know, bought one and never uses it.
I'm sure there's a million on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, get on eBay. You can probably get half this stuff a lot cheaper. Mounting hardware and mounting plate. It's called duct tape and cardboard in an afternoon. I mean. Okay, it won't look.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
good,
if you're getting really fancy dowels and cardboard,
You could spend an afternoon at whatever big box home improvement store and build whatever mounting hardware you need without a problem. But I thought this would be a good place to start because Suave was talking about building a bartending robot that would follow you around. Well, here's he's got the bartending part down. Here's the rest of it for him. But, you know, Suave was apparently too good to be on the show tonight. And I'm going to get
He's busy testing out his bartender robot.
There you go. So, in other words, passed out
field testing
bathtub.
Right
Got
now.
Field testing what sort of liquor to put in it.
Passed out in somebody else's bathtub. Got it. Okay. But anyway, so I was going to throw that link out there. The kit actually looks pretty interesting. A lot of the hardware would be fairly easy to source on its own. The only thing I'm not sure about is that base, which might be a Roomba. You're right. I honestly don't know.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, if you rig it right, if you make it big enough, a bartending robot might be enough grounds to get, like, a liquor license and to, like, rove the streets during summertime selling booze to people. I mean, you got like a nice little touchscreen interface. Like, what the hell do you want? All right, dumps into a little plastic cup. Here you go. That's like $5 for a fucking sidecar or a Tom Collins or some bullshit drink that somebody's gonna order on the street. You know, here's your like $8 Bud Light, fag.
So Suave will build the hardware, and you can do the voiceover work. Got it.
There's one
I would
problem
call anyone that ordered a Bud Light from an awesome bartending robot a fag, though.
Go ahead, BSV.
As good as idea this is, we have to also set up some sort of defensive mechanism so people just don't smash it open for the booze.
I think you just nominated yourself for that job, BSV.
I suggest a shotgun and a servo.
Don't mind the gun that's following your movements.
It only gets angry if you don't give me money.
Put the dollar bill.
This Bud Light is now $80.
Put the dollar bill into the slot very slowly.
You know you need to give the machine $2, but you can't give the machine $2 because you're shitting yourself. from a shotgun pointed in your goddamn face.
I think we've turned this boat into a robotic mugger.
I like it.
Can we use sound?
Prophet!
Instead of Fox, as much fun as it would be to have Fox reporting, as soon as it detects, you know, it needs to go into self-defense mode, it starts using Ed 209 as its voice.
Yeah, I'll be the friendly upfront customer service voice, and then when shit hits the fan,
you will comply.
please tell me it screams when it dies, though. I want to hear that robot screaming.
No, we'll just have an explosive count. A timer with an explosive charge when it's disabled.
So it's a robotic creeper.
Yeah, pretty much, but it gives you a booze until you piss it off.
I like this. Oh, hell. All right, so I had another section for Digital Dojo here tonight. And if you're into intelligence gathering, hi, are you? I've got a link here. It's onstrat.com/osint. And what this thing is, now my show notes on this little page suck, so if you actually open the link, it's a fairly simple looking HTML page, but this guy has indexed, and it's actually a page that's meant for a internet searching training course, which that concept
he has a link called Deep Web. Really?
Okay, yes he does. But take a look at some of the other stuff he's got indexed on this site here. This is a really good starting point if you're just needing to dig up information on something. He's got links to a whole bunch of different Intel starting points, gateways, of course the search engines. Most of these links are fairly easy to find. But it's a nice little bookmark list for just, you know, a place to start. You know what I mean?
It is. Like, I'll give it that. Like, the deep web thing was kind of funny, but like, he does have a pretty well concise list now that I'm actually clicking through it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on here, like being alerted to changes in a page. He's got 5 links there for setting up, like, an email alert if a web page changes, which that's kind of cool. I would actually set that up for, like, say, the G15 website. So that if it changes, well, if you're a listener, obviously you set it up and watch for new shows being posted. But I would personally set it up and watch it for changes I didn't know about. It's like, oh, yep, your page just got hacked. See, now it looks like the anonymous logo and is, you know, cursing at people or something. I don't know. I'm just.
He does regain a lot of points by not just making like the deep web links, just 4chan. Like he actually has some like legitimate like. Global terrorist databases and corporate information and, you know, a bunch of different directories in there.
Well, look at the People's tab. It's got, you know, links to, People Finder, Intellis, a couple of different phone number searches, searches.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm surprised DKD you know Spokio in there, system. But it's down in his phone numbers is Spokio. That thing's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, Spokio's scary a little bit. Real estate values. It's got, you know, search engines that index real estate values. So, let's see. It has a couple of other interesting links. Radio locator. So I guess, you know, you could find a radio station where the station actually is. A couple of translation tools. A whole bunch of geographical things. Like, you know, whole sets just based on searching various parts. Like, it's got a whole section on North Korea.
There's one he has here. I don't know I won't say what it is, but there's one of money, I'll say off air, that probably shouldn't be on this search list.
Yeah.
It's one that I've found before. It's easy to find. You need to dork for it, but to find it. But he's got it out here in the open. Not bad.
But I mean, like, how are you gonna find his page though?
Well,
like, are you really like,
you're going to click the show notes on Pure Decking because I don't know how. I stumbled on this thing buried down a couple of comments deep in a different discussion thread.
But I looked at his news stuff. That's pretty piss poor. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't even got Saudi television. Like he's
he does say at the bottom of the list it's incomplete because it's just kind of showcasing something for his training courses.
Yeah, like he's on the right idea here, but man, talk about a huge project to tackle. Like you're gonna get project burnout real quick.
That might be why it's incomplete.
I mean, but I thought my list was pretty good just for news. I can tack mine on here and get a half a decent one.
But this I thought this would be a good starting point for people searching for stuff. Mm. I mean, yeah, you're right. A lot of these links would be easy to find anyways, especially if you're looking in that general area. But
yeah, I mean, you know, like his networks and services that he has, usually like BBC, MSNBC, Reuters, CNN, Al Jazeera, like these are like major news organizations that damn near everybody and their brother knows about. It's like, you know, go to the Associated Press, get the raw stories there, and I'm sure like, you know, Artie's got, you know, over 9,000 other links to news sources and everything like that. But you're right though. This is a really good starting point. Like I was admittedly ripping on it in the beginning with the deep web link, but like the more I look into it, I was like, yeah, this is actually a pretty decent starting point for
there's some gems in this list.
Yeah, there are. Mm. There are a few.
So yeah. You know, it's worth looking at.
It's not a bad little find. I'll give you that. I think you could spend most of the time trying to find what you're looking for on here. Like this is more of a this is not your entry level start way to you know doing intelligence gathering and things like that. This is your middle of the road. I've been doing this for at least 4 years now. Sort of list.
Maybe not 4 years, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some tool lists on here. There's some different search engines. You know, if you dig in it, there's some interesting. Like he's got an iTunes link on here for looking for podcasts. That's kind of a no duh. But at the same time, then you scroll over and look around. He's got like you know a couple of different like Stratfor and you know Mario's cyberspace station, which I thought was a funny link, and you know. A couple of like Jihad Watch and a few other interesting looking links.
But, yeah, I'm on the biological and chemical terrorist list here right now.
You know, some of these links are a little bit out there, but at the same time, I mean, it's a good place to start. So I thought I'd throw the link out there. I liked it. Could be useful to somebody. If it's not, well, you know, hey. Yeah, again, a lot of these links would probably be fairly easy to find on your own if you, you know, spend a few minutes digging around for something. But, you know, hey, you got the Internet Public Library reference right there, which could be useful.
This is good. He doesn't discriminate either.
No, but, what'd be really cool is if we decide to head east from Gen Con this year, this guy's probably only about, like, 9 hours from where we're meeting up for Gen Con. We'd actually go get him on the show. Have him explain this shit.
Oh, that it'd be a big ad for his training course if we did
it,
that.
Wouldn't it, though? Because we get all of our 5 listeners.
But, like, I really like the link, the online DTNE locator system that's for finding illegal aliens in the U.S.
Yeah. Or the how to locate a hate group that you might want to join.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah, some of them are pretty obscure. You don't know what you'd use them for.
So if you're drunk at 3 a.m. and you're really looking for a cult to start hunting, this page might be useful.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there's like, a money laundering section on here. International Money Laundering Information Network. I mean.
Wow.
So it's worth digging through. It really
He's is. Actually put together a bit of open White House transparency list than the White House have actually put out with their list here.
Talking that.
Hmm.
It's like the Virtual Technical Reports Center. I mean, that looks like it could be something useful. So, yeah, I mean, this page is definitely worth digging through. So, I think I've said that like 5 or 6 times now, so I'm going to go ahead and move on. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always updating it. We're, you know, looking for new music to add. Big has been really on top of the ball and recruiting new artists to the stream.
Yes.
Of course, we're always looking for new open source Creative Commons music to add as well. So use the feedback form. Let us know if you've got you know, an artist whose stuff we can play without getting sued. That has always been the overriding. That's rule number one on Galaxy 15. Don't get morps to knock at the door. Of course, listen to Pure Decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise on Wednesday in our seven.
Wasn't Heavy out recruiting last week?
Oh, God! I have tried so hard to avoid that.
Too soon.
NR7, BSV, I'm still not clear on the schedule for NR7.
I don't know.
No, fair enough.
It's whenever the hell he feels like it, man. How many times does he have to tell you?
I think I have two episodes I've still not posted. Oh, they're uploaded to the site if you know where to get them.
Yeah, that's helpful. Well, they found the IHN shows fairly quickly too. Yeah. Them up and didn't push them.
Don't challenge the couple of dedicated listeners we have out there. They are crazy enough to actually go digging. And that means Morp's gonna get angry for joyriding in the car again.
Oh god. Of course I have nothing on Saturdays. Did I miss any cross promotion?
I think so. Pretty much covered everything.
Awesome. Hit up the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, the shout box. Oh, wait, we killed the shout box. The subreddit, yeah. The IRC channel. I believe you can still try to communicate with us via telepathy if you know how to do that. Be careful, though. You might get the mental image of whatever the hell Big Brother is looking at on his computer screen at the moment. So I would recommend against telepathy and maybe just go into the G15 subreddit. But, you know, hey, if you're into that.
It starts out with a man in a jar, and then there is no jar.
Oh, man. I'm going to hit play on this music like
this is why
now.
I don't do this show anymore. It descends, and it doesn't become a good listening show.
Same as your show.
My show's meant to be like that. This is the flagship show, and look what I've just done to it. Without even fucking saying anything, just being here.
No, we do this without you. It's okay.
Yeah. No, I listen to this show. It doesn't sound like this regularly.
Well, Big's here, too. He helped.
Hey, he hotwires, I drive,
get
right?
out the blame, cannons.
Yeah. Booze. I blame booze. I'm pretty drunk.
I'm hitting play on this music.
Play.